Hey.
I was about to text you.
Yeah, and say what?
What the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
You're fucking 8 minutes late.
Oh, I know. You're so timely and punctual. I feel like a big jerk now.
Yeah, I know. Time is money, Fon.
I know. I owe you like a dollar now.
Yeah, it's probably even less than that.
The Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Efren Elijah. I'm joined by one whom some claim is England's finest export, Leander Caney. Hey, Leander.
Hey, I'm fun. I have a few names that I could say who probably come to mind before. But
before you, you're high on my list. And we were also joined by none other and one of my favorite people in the world, out of New Mexico.
Oh, yes.
Buster Caney. Welcome, Buster.
Hey, man.
I mean, you're not in New Mexico now.
But, you know, but you're close. Those roots run deep.
I was just saying that because I was reading both your bios, and I feel like I know a little bit more about you guys now. And welcome to the Cultcast, everyone. Thanks for joining us. I want to give a quick thanks to our sponsors, FreshBooks. GetFreshBooks.com, rather. The simple cloud accounting solution that's helping thousands of new entrepreneurs and small businesses and owners save time billing and getting paid faster. I use it. Leander uses it. Buster, you use it too, right?
All the time.
I always forget. GetFreshBooks.com. Love that cloud accounting software. And then, of course, if I can make a little confession, I love Lynda.
Oh.com.
Lynda.com, with over 2,000 high quality video courses taught by industry leading experts, is the place to go if you're trying to learn how to program, maybe learn an application like Photoshop and Lightroom. I had a little interview with one of their expert instructors, and I'll play a little bit of that later in the show. Actually, it was the same guy, Chris Orwig, whose videos I watched to learn all about Lightroom. I really learned a ton, but head over to lynda.com/cultcast if you'd like to start a free trial and check out all their courses. You can learn all you want for free for 7 days. I want to thank both of them for sponsoring. Guys, I thought we could start, as we've been, with a get-to-know-your-cultist question. This is, of course, a segment where we get asked a question by someone who listens and we answer it so that people can learn more about us. This one comes from our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecultcast. Owen McGuire asks, it's easy to rack up stickers, Apple stickers, when you're a fanboy, as we all are. Where are some of the places where you have put your Apple stickers? Buster. Buster. Would you like to start?
I'll be honest. I hate it when I see like cars with Apple and stuff like that. I did, like, my buddy has one, and yeah. I just keep trying to like take it off for him. They're all usually sitting in the box still if I keep the box.
Leander?
Yeah, mine goes straight in the trash. I hate to say. I'm with Buster. It's too embarrassing to, you know,
to have them on your car.
Yeah, I mean.
The kind of people who fly them are really idiots. They can't drive. It's almost like a badge. Like, I'm an idiot.
This is the part of the show where I say Leander's comments and opinions are not shared by those by the rest of the cult cast or cultmag.com.
I don't know. I just have to notice that.
Well, can I just make an observation? If you have more than one, maybe two, they work great for pasties. I'm just going to put that out there.
I'm actually saying that.
If you have chest hair, though, they are a little painful to get off. I'm not speaking from experience.
They don't cling hard enough.
Yeah, they do fall off easily. No, I'm with you guys. I never put those stickers on any of my stuff. I don't put them on my car. They usually just sit in the box, and I don't know why. I do see them on cars pretty often on the back window, but I've just never really been compelled. And plus, my car is so crappy, I actually feel like I'd be doing Apple a disservice. That sticker on my particular car, people would be like, oh, those are the kinds of people that have Apple stuff. I'm not sure. You know,
you're in Redmond, right? So, I mean, you know, are you in danger of getting dragged out of your car at a stop sign and getting beaten up by some
by
Microsoft
some angry
dudes?
Microsoft nerd? No. People in Seattle are so polite. I told you about the Seahawks riot, right? I mean, yeah. My gosh. And by riot, I mean people gathered politely in one place.
Sip their chai lattes.
Yes, yeah, sipping their chai lattes and drinking a maximum of 2 micro brews each. And then, you know, politely going home. What?
The only time I used a sticker is I made a Hackintosh a few years ago. I bought a cheap netbook and hacked it, and I stuck an Apple sticker on that. And people didn't notice. They kept on coming. Oh, is that a new Mac? Is that the new MacBook?
Is that the new MacBook?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It cost me $200, and it looks like shite.
And it's 4 inches thick. It's really slow.
It only gets 45 minutes of battery life. It's the new MacBook.
Actually, yeah, the hours I wasted messing around with that thing.
I know. That's, for me, has always kind of been the reason I never wanted to try, doing a Hackintosh is... It's so much effort, and then the problem, of course, is that you can never really update it without breaking everything. It's kind of like jailbreaking your phone, right?
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. Then you got to go back and do it again.
Yeah. So I guess if you're maybe using it for video or something to do video production, it might be worth it. But in any case, thanks for the question, Owen McGuire. If you guys want to suggest a topic or a cultist question, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast. We would love to hear from you guys. And I don't know, maybe you'll get a prize. Most likely not, but...
Some stickers, maybe.
maybe a few Apple stickers will arrive in the mail. So, guys, I thought we could move on to a topic that just seems to be going crazy on the web. And that, of course, revolves around people flapping it.
Dude.
I know you like to flap it. I like to flap it. Leander, I think, is kind of like an in-the-closet flapper. Right, Leander?
I was flapping with my kids at the weekend.
I had a flapping addiction. I had to help.
Well, yeah. It's appropriate for all ages. And we're, of course, talking about Flappy Bird, the addictive game that's so simple to play. You'll find yourself flapping wherever you go, on the bus, in the car, at work. But the developer, who I guess is out of Vietnam, his name is Dong Nguyen. And he posted a tweet after this hailstorm of press about, how great this game is and how everyone was downloading it. And then he just said, all of a sudden, he just wanted to pull it. And I kind of thought, there's not a chance this guy is going to pull the game from the Apple Store, because wasn't he making...
He was making $50,000 a day. Yeah, off the ads.
$50,000 a day. And I thought the ads were actually well done. They were only
weren't that bad.
Yeah, because they only appeared once you lost, which happens in that game all the time, right?
Right.
It's like every
10 seconds you're losing. So, and the ads just kind of show up and then disappear. So I kind of posed the question to Twitter, why would a developer who's making that much money pull it? Because people dream about having an app that's this popular. I mean, this is like an Angry Birds type phenomenon. I mean, this guy could have gone on to be... like a super big millionaire. And a lot of people on Twitter were like, dude, it's not all about the money. Sometimes you just want people to play your game. But regardless, I mean, even if you just wanted people... Yeah. And BS walks. That's what I got to say about that.
It was amazing how everybody was just like so captured up in Flappy Bird for a couple of days. I joked around. It was like all we were going to post about for a day, because
I think it is all anybody was talking about. Yeah.
Well, Harry McCracken at Time said that the top 10 searches were Flappy Bird searches on Time, time.com.
Probably just because people wanted to know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Well, it was a big story.
It was just, why was he pulling it? Because he was like, oh, this is, he said Flappy Bird was like one of his best pieces of work, but it ruined his life at the same time. And
that's what I don't get. How does that ruin your life?
Yeah, everybody was like, how did it ruin your life? And I still don't really understand how it ruined his life either, but it was a fun game while it lasted.
Yeah, and of course...
It was a nice, quiet life. But he also said he removed it because it was addictive, right? Is that why?
Yeah, that's what he said. He thought it was like too addictive, and I'm because he didn't intend for it to be a game where you just keep playing it forever and ever and trying to get like 200, after 50 hours of playing,
Well, he said some interesting things though before, right, about his philosophy of making a game, that he wanted them to be really, really simple, so there's no, you didn't have to, you could pick it up and immediately figure it out, but they also had to be extremely hard.
Yeah.
So he was getting rid of the learning curve.
I thought it was a fun game, and yeah, it was hard as hell.
Right. Well, his two other games are just like that too.
Yeah.
Super Bowl Juggling and
Shuriken Block.
Yeah.
So are those games? I mean, are those games less addictive in some way than Flappy Bird? I mean, because those games are still up.
I've played the juggling game, and it's hard. Like, you just keep kicking a ball up in the air. I haven't played the Shuriken Block yet, though. I wouldn't say the juggling game is as addictive as Flappy Bird, though.
Flappy Bird will forever be remembered as a phenomenon. It's such a bizarre story.
Yeah.
That this guy became so popular overnight, and then made all this money and then just kind of peaced out. And actually, it's so weird that some people on Twitter were thinking this is like some type of marketing ploy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because right. If it is, it's absolutely genius. So the guy yeah. releases it, it becomes really popular, and then all of a sudden, for reasons of conscience, decide that he can't let this game exist any longer because it's too addictive.
Uh-huh.
What?
I know, it's mad. It's peculiar. How did they get popular in the first place? There were two theories, right? One was that he cheated, and the other one is that he was reviewed by PewDiePie, that super popular YouTube games reviewer.
Uh-huh.
Which one do you think is...
PewDiePie?
Yeah, he's the Swedish guy that reviews games on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
He's got like 9 million views on one video where he tells people don't play Flappy Bird because it's too addictive. And that was about, I think it was at the beginning of January. And there was also another Reddit post around that time promoting it. But then there's some people were suggesting that he used bots to boost up his app rank.
I don't think so. I mean, the game actually really is fun. We've all played it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, my hands are sore. I've been flapping it so much.
Yeah, but
it's a good game. I mean, it's not like he just, you know, got a lot of marketing and tricked people into buying this game. I think it was really organic. People probably told people about it, and then they downloaded it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, if you don't have it on your iDevice, you can go onto eBay and probably buy one of the 10,000 scams that are happening there. People trying to sell their freaking iPhone 4s.
Pre-installed, yeah.
Yeah, with Flappy Bird installed on it.
But I seriously woke up that morning considering selling my phone because I was like, dang.
Those can't be real. One of them was going for like $10,000. One was going for like $50,000.
Yeah, eBay pulled them a day later.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way people would have actually paid. I think one of them was $100,000, right?
Do you think they were just bidding it up, like, as a joke or what?
Well, I don't know if it was a joke, but it could have been, like, that Tim Cook auction, y'all. Do you remember how some of them, like, the usernames were, like, advertisements? So, and this has happened on eBay before. Do you guys remember a long time ago when someone sold their haunted cane that they thought was... quote unquote haunted by the spirit of their father?
No.
And like the winning bid on it, I don't remember how much it was something absurd, like $50,000. And the winner was some casino. And this casino would go to all these auctions on eBay and buy really hyped up products because people would look to see who the bidder was and it would advertise their casino.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So maybe it was something like that.
Bizarre.
I don't know, but if you want to flap it, you're going to have to find another way.
That joke never gets old. Well, there's a lot of flapping opportunities on the web now, right? A bunch of clones pop up.
If you go to the top free apps in the App Store, like 5 out of 10, the top 10 are Flappy Bird clones.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Wow. Yeah.
5 out of 10. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know that more Flappy Bird clones are just going to start appearing on the freaking App Store left and right.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy. But anyway, if you didn't get your hands on it, maybe you could grab your friend's phone and flap with that. I don't know. Figure something out. Hey, before we continue, I want to give a thanks to FreshBooks for sponsoring the show. Getfreshbooks.com. I actually pay for FreshBooks every single month. It's that great of a service. And if you have a business where you're going to be invoicing people, maybe you need to be keeping track of your expenses, FreshBooks is the best way that I know to do that. And the great part is you can use FreshBooks on the web, or you can use their iOS app, which is really great. And especially nice because if you need to track expenses, for instance, like receipts or, you know, parking receipts or something like that, when you're creating an expense in the FreshBooks app, you can take a picture of it. And then when you send it to your client, they can actually see that you're not just trying to rip them off. Indeed, you have a valid expense. It also helps you get paid faster because everything's digital, right? So you send these invoices to your clients. You're not mailing stuff to them. They get it via email. And then they can pay you with credit card or they can do bank transfer or PayPal payments. Really great service. As I mentioned, Leander, you use it, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm the one who's on the receiving end of all the rest.
Yeah, Leander's getting most of my FreshBook invoices. I love
well,
it.
I use sometimes it too. I invoice a couple of clients with it as well. Instead,
oh, there you go. So you use it to collect money as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. And sometimes you can just send people invoices and for work that's just made up. Like sometimes I do that with Leander and just see if he pays it. And oftentimes he does. So it really gets you ahead. Excellent customer service too. Go to getfreshbooks.com. And you can sign up for their free trial. I think you get one client for free, and you don't even have to pay for it, so you can try it out. And when you're signing up in the How Did You Hear About Us section, make sure you enter CultCast. That lets them know that you heard about them through our show, which really helps us because it means they'll probably keep sponsoring us. And also it enters you to win a free birthday cake. They're giving away a free birthday cake every day to a new user. So if you need a great, powerful invoicing system for your small business, check out getfreshbooks.com. I want to thank them for sponsoring the show. Guys, let's move on from flapping it. What was that?
My phone, sorry.
It's a very cool ringtone you have, Leander.
Yeah.
I like it. It's very digital. And let's talk about... Oh, actually, Leander, let's talk about your Mac supercomputer story, shall we?
Yeah, okay.
Because you pinged me excitedly yesterday and you said, hey... We're writing this great feature on Cultimac Magazine, which is available in the newsstand app, by the way, for the fair price of just $2 a month. And you said something about how it does like a zillion processes per millisecond, and you're really excited. Please tell us more.
All right. Well, I stumbled on this story about this the biggest Mac supercomputer in the world.
Yeah.
And it has this amazing and really surprising architecture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we'd all heard about the Virginia. Remember the Big Mac at Virginia Tech? They built it all off all these off-the-shelf Macs.
I do remember that, yeah.
And they upgraded to Xserve. And this thing was one of the fastest machines in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it cost them millions of dollars. I think it was like $5 million or more. Well, this guy strung together a machine that's not quite as powerful, but it's made out of all these ordinary iMacs in school classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
In Kentucky. So they've wired together like about 54 school districts all across the state. And all of these Macs that the kids use in the schools are actually strung together into this grid that's doing looking for cancer drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time I talked to him initially, which is a while ago, I met him at Macworld. They had two cancer drugs, one of which they said was almost 100% effective at treating late-stage cancers.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what? Are you kidding me? And they found it on this, you know, found it on the grid, and they were going into human trials. Anyway, I cut a long story short, you know, I sat on the story for a while, and then by the time I checked back in with him just before doing this one, that drug is in some kind of weird drug limbo because of the drug business.
Mm-hmm.
The company that was testing it went out of business. Anyway, they've got another drug that's going to go into trials next year.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out this is the largest cancer drug pipeline in the country.
And they're doing it all on these linked together Mac computers sitting in schools?
Yeah. Huh, yeah. I was totally flabbergasted. I'm like, you know, has anyone reported about this? And he's like, no, no one's written a story about it.
So it's software driven. It must be, right? So all these computers can pass work to one another.
Exactly. Exactly. And it was originally done with XGrid, which is the built-in sort of supercomputing agent or grid agent that Apple had built into OS X.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, really easy. Like it was so, you know, you turn it on and it would auto detect all the other nodes that were available. And it was very easy to send it work and it would parcel out the work really well. It was really well designed piece of software. So it was very, very easy for them to do this. And they got a lot of the funding from, you know, state sources because these schools were so impoverished and there was so much unemployment. The coal industry was, you know, retreating. They were getting a lot of funds, you know, from the government, and so they were able to buy a lot of these computers for schools, and they would do double duty on the grid.
So they would buy the school's computers so the students could use them to learn and stuff. But then they also had the requirement of, we're going to use these at night or something like that. When
Well, they use them 24/7. The machines are so powerful that they can run the stuff in the background.
Wow.
They throttle it back, you know, mm-hmm. to make sure that they don't. They throttle it up at night, you know, to get more work out of the machines. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're powerful enough to run, to do both, to do double duty.
And so this guy thinks he's found the cure for cancer.
Well, you know, and maybe a bit early. There are all sorts of interesting threads. You know, like when I talked to him, you know, initially they had two really promising drugs, and both of them have kind of turned into busts. You know, mm-hmm. one of them, they were both licensed to this company that went out of business, and so they're kind of stuck, I think, in this weird drug company limbo.
Uh-huh.
But this other one, they're really hopeful about. They say is really, really a spectacular drug. And weirdly enough, you know, the compound, the drug itself, they're hoping to synthesize using genetically modified tobacco plants. So that's even crazier.
That is really weird. Yeah, you wouldn't think that tobacco would be the key to curing cancer.
Right.
Is this perhaps sponsored by Camel Cigarette Company or menthols cure cancer?
Exactly, and it's like you know, it's Kentucky's biggest cash crop, and it's a strange plant. You know, it's they use it because they know its genetics inside out. They've been studying it for years. Crazy.
So you need to smoke more cigarettes to smoke your cancer out.
Right.
These genetically modified cigarettes.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Are they planning on using these computers for anything besides, you know, drug research, or is that kind of like their main purpose at this point?
Well, you know, this is what he's hoping. I mean, there's all sorts of other different utilities. So they're working with 14 different cancer, 14 different research groups. And, mm-hmm. and yeah, you know, he said when Apple had it built in, when Xcode was built into OS X, mm-hmm. the intriguing thing was that, you know, anybody with a large installation of Macs had their own supercomputer sitting right there.
Yeah, it's really powerful.
Right. All they had to do really was turn it on. And mm-hmm. there are some big universities, big companies that have thousands and thousands of Macs, you know, mm-hmm. With good networking. I mean, the networking, I think, was one of the bottlenecks. So you have to have a really good, fast network between the different nodes. But that was one of the intriguing things. You know, he was saying that this could have been local cloud computing. So anybody, any university, any college, any school, any company with a significant installation of Macs, you know, have this supercomputer utility at their fingertips that they could just turn on. And of course, now it's a bit harder because Apple's removed Xgrid, and so, you know, someone's got to go out and actually plan to do this. But, you know, the possibility still exists. It's still intriguing.
Oh, they removed Xgrid from their shipping computers? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it went out in 10.8, so.
But you can still get it, right? You just have to go seek it out? Or did they just continue working on that?
I think it has been discontinued. I think it's very difficult to get.
But I thought they were still shipping it with Compressor, because that was one of the big features about, you know, Compressor and Final Cut Pro, is when you were exporting a video, you could cluster any video or any computers on your network, and they would all work together to export your video faster.
You know, I'm going to have to look into that.
Oh, I'm not really sure either.
Compressor, huh? Okay.
Yeah, you know, it's Apple's app that they let you use to compress videos into different formats and stuff. But anyway,
okay,
pretty cool.
Right.
If people want to read more about the story, they can get Cult of Mac magazine, right? We haven't mentioned that in a while, but of course, Cult of Mac magazine is the weekly magazine, digital magazine that Cult of Mac puts out. Available on the newsstand app, as I said. And it's $2 still, right, Leander?
Right. Yeah. So if you just do a search for Cult of Mac magazine, it'll bring it up. Yeah. And it's $2 to subscribe. And we put it out every week.
And the cover art on those, always really good.
Cool.
Yeah, I really like the cover art, especially the one when we were in Vegas.
Oh.
That cover art was great.
That was
And, so there was this fat homeless guy that sneaked in on the corner.
I was like, who is this homeless guy they put on the front, and why is my arm around him? How did he sneak under my arm and also take Leander's martini?
I know. How did he do that? How did he manage to do that? Amazing.
I didn't even notice. I was holding that homeless guy in my arm. In any case, all right, cool. Well, let's move on, because I think I definitely want to give some time to the new announcement that Comcast is going to be purchasing, or at least trying to purchase, Time Warner for about $45 billion. For those of you who listen regularly, and I hope that you all do, you heard my rant about net neutrality 2 episodes ago. you know, the one that almost put Leander to sleep. he's like, no, no one cares about net neutrality. This is a major development, guys. You know, Comcast is the number one provider of cable television, and, or I'm sorry, television, internet, and phone service in the United States. Time Warner, number two. And together, I think they're going to have about 50% of the markets. And of course,
30. But
is it 30?
Yeah.
Are you sure, or is it 30 million people?
No, 30% of the market is what they would have during a merger.
Okay, but they're definitely going to be by far the biggest provider of service in the United States.
Oh, by far, because it's one and two combining.
And here, I mean, if this gets approved by the FCC. This is going to be crazy, because talk about antitrust. It's like, why do we have antitrust laws if they allow this kind of thing to happen? Because truly, if you live in an area where if you're in a major city, you're really only going to have one cable or internet provider.
Well, apparently that's what you do anyway. They don't compete. That's why it's going to sail through.
Well, that's what they're saying. And that's why they say that, you know, like they don't compete in these markets. But and that's true. They usually stick to one market or another. They don't usually compete. But of course, the problem is that now if Comcast gets everything and there's no competition and they have no FCC oversight, what's to stop them from raising your prices a lot? Or what's to stop them from just kind of keeping the same crappy internet service that we have already? I mean, I think of places like Korea or places like, you know, Sweden, where they have, you know, really progressive internet systems in place. They're all using fiber optic now. And here we are, you know, just flapping it.
I know, it sucks. Well, did you see the latest rumors about, you know, the Apple TV?
Yeah. Right. So this plays into that, right, Leander? Why don't you tell us about it?
Okay. I was hoping Buster would
jump in for Leander.
Well, it's been rumored that Apple's working with TWC for the launch of the new Apple
Time
TV,
Time Warner
cable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so to help provide content, so it would work more like your set-top cable box, and then also give you access to cable channels that you have subscriptions to in the feed as well. But part of the problem with that was in the report that Bloomberg published, they said Apple was also trying to work with Comcast as well as DirecTV, but Comcast, like, they had a lot of problems because Comcast doesn't want to use Apple IDs in the back end for credentials and stuff. So it might affect the launch of the Apple TV if Apple doesn't have a partner ready yet.
Well, if they're combining two of those companies, would that help or hinder it?
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking. Why would Time Warner want to bring their content to Apple TV if, you know, Comcast is going to own them? And Comcast is kind of going to be competing with the Apple TV in a sense, right? I mean, they want to be providing the content. They don't want you to be using your Apple TV and buying stuff off iTunes and streaming stuff.
Well, that's exactly their problem is Comcast wants to control that content through their services.
Well, the way I understood it was that they were going to be, you know, it's like Apple was going to build them a better set-top box. So, you know,
now that would be really cool.
Yeah, and they were going to layer like an Apple UI over the sort of the Comcast Time Warner content.
Mm-hmm.
And they're already sort of doing this in the app you can get from the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it does a lot of like on demand, and you can look at also different kinds of shows, and it's supposed to be a really nice app, a really well designed app, and this is kind of like, you know, what an Apple design set top box might look like. But it would be, you know, the same content from the cable companies.
That would be cool, because that's definitely something that Apple specializes in, right? I mean, really great UIs.
Mm-hmm. Do you think they would allow all those other upstarts in, though? You know, like all the streaming companies?
Hulu and Netflix.
Right.
Maybe, because now that Comcast not only owns the content, right, they also own the pipes. So why not? We'll just go ahead and put a cap on all the pipes. We'll meter it. And we'll treat it like it's a rare resource, even though it's absolutely not, and make everyone think that we're doing them a favor by letting them use the internet. And then we'll just go ahead and charge you per megabyte or per gigabyte. And if you don't like it, sorry, too bad. Where are you going to go?
Yeah, right.
Right? Where are you going to go? This is my big problem. And this is why I hope that the FCC just says, oh, hell no. Because... if they own all the pipes and there's no competition, then there's really no choice there. And the big problem with this merger, if it happens, is it's incredibly expensive to get into the cable business, the internet business, right? You can't just go in and lay all the pipes and do it.
To build a whole network. It's expensive.
It's expensive. Not to mention, I'm reading this great book right now that talks about a lot of this stuff. And the author points out, well, when you build out a network like that, you also have to get the content too, right? And now Comcast owns a lot of the content.
Yeah, they own NBC Universal when they're acquiring Time Warner, because Time Warner acquired NBC, the movie company, as well.
Oh, there you go, right? So you're leasing, you know, this content from Comcast, who also owns the pipes. So they're competing with you in that regard. And what would be their motivation to give you a fair price? I mean, their cost on that stuff is obviously going to be much lower. Mm-hmm. So it could create a lot of problems, and that's going to translate into more, you know, internet costs for all of us.
Maybe Verizon will gallop to your rescue on that white horse.
you mean the red horse?
Do either of you guys have Time Warner or Comcast?
What's that?
Do either of you guys have Time Warner or Comcast?
I have Comcast, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I have Comcast.
Everyone has Comcast. Geez.
I have Cox out here in Phoenix. I think it's like one of the few cities where it's not Time Warner or Comcast.
Oh, I heard they're pretty bad too, though.
I've never had like too many problems, but you always hear horror stories about Comcast. So yeah, it worries me that like smaller companies also would get bought up as well.
The internet service on Comcast is awesome. You know, it never hiccups. It's super fast. It's like 54 megabits down or something crazy, 11 or 17 up.
Okay, but see, that you're right. It is good service, and I like my Comcast service. But here's the thing. I mean, you got to look at it relative to other markets. And you have, for example, we had a fiber optic network that was being built here in Seattle. And they had announced their prices before this entire plan got squashed. And you were going to be able to get a gigabit line, so 1,000 up, 1,000 down, 1,000 megabits up, 1,000 megabits down for $80 a month. That's what I'm paying right now for Comcast service. And they're giving me, I think, 50 down and 10 up. So therein lies your problem, right? Because they make it seem like it's fast, and it is real. It's kind of fast, right? It's faster than it used to be. But when you're looking at countries that are getting 1,000 up, 1,000 down, or 100 up, 100 down, this company that was going to build in Seattle had a $40 plan that was 100 up, 100 down.
And so what happened to it?
They got squashed. All of a sudden, this whole deal went belly up, and no one really knows why. And it just doesn't exist anymore. They stopped paying their bills, and they stopped answering questions from the press. And no one knows what's going on. Like this, all of a sudden, this company. Oh, and by the way, we got a mayor now who got money from Comcast. Who knows? I mean, I don't know if that has anything to do with it. It certainly could. Anyway, my point is.
Smells fishy.
It smells fishy, doesn't it?
Does.
I'm making a fish face right now. I'm making my lips.
Better get back to your flapping. think about nicer things.
Anyway, I don't want to rant too much about it, but if you're in the United States, you should be concerned about this because it could mean.
Write your congressman.
You should write your congressman. You should at least be aware of what's going on because this is going to affect the United States' ability to compete globally. You know, at a much larger scale, because these other countries have much faster speeds, and they don't treat internet as a finite resource, which it isn't a finite resource. It's like free, you know. It's not like water, and it doesn't take a lot to create it. It's like once you lay the infrastructure, the data moves around, and it costs them nothing. And rant.
Getting this rant all the time from you.
But, you know, people say that they like it when I get pissed and rant about stuff. So hopefully somebody enjoyed that. But write your congressman, you know, be pissed. Be pissed with me. It makes me feel better. Hey, before we move on, guys, because we're going to talk about iPhone 6 rumors. We got some of those. And we actually have some more Apple TV rumors that we didn't cover. Yeah. Don't you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. I did an interview with Chris Orwig from lynda.com, /cultcast. And he is a photographer. He's an instructor. And actually, he was the instructor that taught the Lightroom 4 course and now the Lightroom 5 course that I've been reviewing. And he teaches how to use applications for photography purposes. So how to use Photoshop, Creative Cloud, if you're a photographer, how to use Lightroom, if you're a photographer, to really improve your photos. Really great guy. I thought it'd be cool to kind of let you guys meet one of the instructors from lynda.com, because they have really, really excellent instructors, people who are really passionate about teaching and know their topics very well. So let me play a bit of that, and we'll be right back, guys. All right, guys, I'm here with Chris Orwig, one of your lynda.com instructors.
Yeah, and good to chat.
I saw on your website that you had taken some pictures recently of some pretty famous people. I saw Ben Harper on there. I saw Jack Johnson on there. So are you also a working professional photographer?
Yeah, you know, from the get-go, I realized that if I was going to teach, I had to also push really hard to stay sharp and stay shooting and stay relevant and all that. So yeah, I try to do more shooting than teaching.
You're also a college professor, right?
Yeah. So I teach the college level at a school called Brooks, and that's really fun.
As far as the apps that you teach on, what kind of courses could people tune into on lynda.com that you teach?
Yeah, the Lightroom content that you mentioned, there's a lot there to help people get a handle on how to best use that tool. And then the Photoshop side as well. And that's everything from being creative with color to being functional with sharpening.
And what is it that you like about lynda.com and teaching there?
For me, lynda.com is amazing. They've created this tone, which is education really matters, and try to do that in a way that is accessible and is enjoyable too. And I love that.
The accessible part for me was really important as well, just because the courses are so well broken out that you can really do them in small chunks. And if you do a little bit every day, you're done with this entire course in not a lot of time.
Yeah, I think that goes back to the whole idea that you can be focused in what you're trying to learn. So you don't have to watch all the movies, but you watch the ones which are relevant to you. And then you walk away from that really gaining something versus just having to sort of trudge through all this content, which isn't relevant. So that's the beauty, I think, of it.
Yeah, I like that you can watch videos over and over again. Obviously, one of the huge perks of lynda.com, because I found myself doing that all the time. Well, hey, if you guys are interested, go check out lynda.com/cultcast. You can watch any of the courses there for 7 days, 7-day free trial, all you can learn. And of course, you can also watch Chris's courses, which we'll have listed on that page as well. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
And we're back! Welcome back to Cultcast, everyone. There's a reason I always say, I love lynda.com. Thanks, Linda, for sponsoring this show. Guys, let's talk about some iPhone 6 rumors, shall we?
Okay.
Buster, you penned most of these.
Oh, did I think?
Yeah, so I'll be going to you on a lot of these. Kind of strange that we're hearing about iPhone 6 rumors this early.
Yeah, so, like,
and all of a sudden,
a ton of them, too. Like, everything, like camera, display, all kinds of stuff have been coming out on it.
And I thought the most interesting one was, I guess, some pictures showed up on Twitter from some anonymous accounts. And they were pictures of what really looked like legitimate iPhone 6 backs.
Yeah, it looked like iPhone 6, like very thin edge-to-edge display with a Touch ID still, but the sensors moved up higher. And it was beautiful and it fooled a ton of people.
Do you think it was fake?
Oh, yeah. They debunked them this morning.
Oh.
The fingerprint textures used on all of them were the same, like just rotated slightly different. But, God, they were such good renders, man.
Yeah, maybe Apple was kind of like testing the waters there.
Maybe.
See what they should
but,
right?
I mean, it was just too good to be true when they came out yesterday. It was like from just some obscure account that like tweeted the pictures at Mac Rumors and Apple Insider in the morning. And then Sonny Dixon, the guy who leaked the iPhone 5, grabbed a hold of them and put his watermark on it. And was
Wait. So did all he do was just take the pictures off Twitter and put his watermark on them?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought he actually got the backs from China like he did with previous like iPads and iPhones and stuff.
No, he just if he didn't get the pictures off of Twitter directly, it was the same person sent them to him. But
then he just put his watermark on them
further. Yeah, seems how Mac Rumors and Apple Insider didn't publish them, I guess.
But okay,
the pictures are cool. I mean, they get you pretty excited for like a bigger screened iPhone.
Yeah, and it could be a lot bigger from everything that I've been reading. I mean, 4.5 inch or even like 5.5 inch, which
5.5 sounds like pretty huge, though. Like, that's phablet sized, you know?
Yeah, but wouldn't you want one? Wouldn't you want to carry? Wouldn't you want to flap on one of those?
So much flap.
5.5 inches of flapping?
Yeah.
That's like a dream.
I got screen envy when I looked at one of those Samsung Galaxies.
They are nice, aren't they?
Yeah.
At least huge. The screen size is, until you see the absolute atrocity of screen UI elements. That
TouchWiz and all that they threw on it.
And there are also rumors that the screen is going to be much higher density, like up to like 441 pixels per square inch. So some higher resolution than your current iPhone, much higher. And Buster, what did you say about the camera? What do we know about that? Or what was the rumor?
Just that it was going to get supercharged. We talked about that last podcast.
Oh, we did, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mentioned the resin glass that they might be putting on there. And also some rumors floating around about how they might have that sapphire crystal applied to the fronts and the back. I think Mike Elgin wrote about that on Cult-O-Mac. And I don't know how true that is, but it was definitely interesting because his point was, and this is something that I find truly intriguing, when people buy these beautiful iPhones and they put these really ugly cases on them to protect them. And he was saying that he was guessing, but that must just be like the bane of Johnny Ive's existence, that he creates these really beautiful products and then someone puts like a $2 case made in China over the top of it just to protect it.
It's true. I hate it. I hate using a case because, yeah, your iPhone's so beautiful, you know.
Yeah, until you drop it. Yeah, for sure. In fact, I usually like rub mine down every day just to keep it nice and shiny. You think I'm joking, but I'm not. I clean it off every single day. I do the same thing with my Mac. I have to keep it streak free. But you know, especially with the iPhone 5 and the iPhone 5S, with the aluminum back and sides, well, the sides, the back is glass, it, when you drop it and stuff, it dents really easily. And have you guys dropped yours without a case, Buster?
Yeah, I dropped my 5S quite a few times without a case, and then I just broke it, I think, last week while jogging.
Oh, you did just break it. I think you told me that.
Yeah.
I've dropped mine several times. In fact, I just dropped it yesterday, and it's so far nothing's broke on it.
Yeah, mine held up really well for like a couple of months, you know?
Yeah, mine did too. What, Buster? Or what, Leander?
I've got mine in a case, you know, a 12 South wallet case, bookcase.
Has that done pretty well for you? Because my brother has one, and he says it's falling apart.
Well, it's looking a bit, you know, worse for wear, and there's a couple of cracks in the plastic. But no, it's held up fine, and I keep it in my back pocket, you know, so I sit on it every day, and you know, I'm surprised how well it's held up. I'm like, you know, it's coming apart in one of the corners. But anyway, you know, so my iPhone is pristine, but my brother, who keeps his in his pocket, you know, it's all worn. His iPhone, and it's a bit scratched, and I think it's got a couple of dings in it. But I'm kind of jealous of his phone. I kind of prefer it. I prefer his to mine.
Wait, which phone does he have?
Scuffed up look.
Yeah.
Oh,
he has an iPhone 5. It builds character, you know.
Right. Yeah.
It looks cooler. I think it actually looks better when it's been worn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like,
as long as you don't wreck it, you know. But,
I was gonna say, you want a big crack down the middle, like Buster's phone.
Mine's just got a crack in the upper right corner, so I'll probably just leave it until a new iPhone comes out or I get a cut.
We're not expecting new iPhones for
like
months.
Yeah, six months. I don't know.
It's gonna be forever before we see a new iPhone. But I'm really excited because I really want one with a huge screen, just like a giant screen. Like 6 inches or
something
bigger.
You could mount on your wall.
Yeah, that'd be great. The bigger the better, as I like to say. Let's wrap up with this, guys. We didn't mention one of these other Apple TV rumors, so we should probably cover it. Bloomberg is reporting that we won't have to wait that long to see a redesigned Apple TV and a new interface. Looks like April, they're saying. And I'm not sure if this is going to turn out to be accurate or not, but it's been 2 years since we've seen a major overhaul. Gosh, has it been 2 years already?
Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible.
Like, they've changed like some software, you know, but as far as hardware, it's been that same little puck for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wonder if this Apple TV, Time Warner deal is going to delay things at all.
Right, yeah, because they're saying they're not going to announce it until April, but then the report said they might not launch until the holidays, contingent upon like securing deals with Time Warner and other cable companies.
See, it could be really cool. It would be really awesome to have an Apple TV that you could use to actually just watch television and not just stream stuff.
Yeah, I mean, didn't you say like the Xbox One does that? You can plug your set-top box into it?
Yes, and it actually works quite well, even though it's definitely not perfect, but it works really well. So I can plug my TiVo into my Xbox One, and then I can control the TiVo via voice commands, through the Xbox Kinect sensor. And it works really well. The only thing that it doesn't do is you can't control things that have already been recorded on the TiVo. It can only like play and pause and rewind and that type of thing. But it's really cool because if you're watching TV, you could be like, you know, launch this video game and it will launch it. Or if you're watching TV and somebody's playing a video game and they want you to play with them on your TV screen, over whatever you're watching, a little notification will pop up. In fact, me and With Hearts, we've been playing Call of Duty Ghosts, Buster.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That's pretty cool, right?
That's awesome.
He's the only guy I know that actually has an Xbox One. But, so it'd be really cool to be able to watch TV through your Apple TV. I just kind of, I hope they don't implement it in the same way that a lot of the other DVRs implement it, where it's like if you want to use the Comcast Xfinity app, you have to log in with your Comcast ID. And same with HBO, right? You have to log in with your HBO stuff, and then you get access to that content because it's a really inelegant way of doing it.
Yeah, and I think that's Apple's problem. I think that's part of the beef in their negotiations is they want to get rid of that, and the cable companies don't want to.
Right, and now they have even more power.
I mean, it would just be so simple if you just bust in your Apple ID and all of your cable channels are right there in one app,
Oh, that would be so great, especially because Apple would probably build it in a way where it actually knew what channels you got. Because, you know, like when you go into your DVR and you're clicking through channels and it's like it lets you go to the channel or it shows it in your menu, but then it says you don't get it. And it just the screen just stays black. And it's like, well, if I don't get the channel, why are you showing me the channel?
Yeah, exactly.
Just show me what I can actually use.
Or like being able to reorganize your channels into, stuff that you watch the most so you don't have to scroll through tons of crap throughout the day. There's lots of like just little simple UI improvements. I think Apple could make a big difference on just watching cable.
As long as I get to keep my 100 plus shopping channels and my 50 plus golf channels, because God help them if they take those away from me. That's what I like to watch.
I like to watch home flipping shows.
Flip that home.
Flipping Alaska is one I just discovered.
Oh, I think that's on Netflix.
Is it really?
I think so. Yeah, I saw that. My. It's either on Netflix or on Amazon, but I didn't look interesting to me.
Yeah, well, a little secret.
Now that I know that you like it, though, definitely going to watch it.
I was just too lazy to change the channel. Plus, I was kind of really fascinated
with how they were flipping houses in Alaska?
Well, they weren't even flipping them. They were just buying houses in Alaska. But it was just like, I guess I wanted to see what Alaska was like, so.
you weren't actually interested in the whole topic of the show?
Not really. I lasted two shows. That's not bad. Better than one.
You got to see some glaciers, maybe a couple bears.
You know, it was either that or the ice skating, the Olympic ice skating.
Yeah?
And I've had enough of ice skating.
For
another 4 years already.
Not a fan. But you know who loves ice skating? My mom. She's in heaven right now.
Dude.
She loves ice skating. Hey, speaking of ice skating, Alex, we should mention Alex Excelsior Heath is in Russia right now.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's covering the Olympics, isn't he?
Yeah, he's been sending such good Snapchats lately.
It's like him with Russian people everywhere.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Doing another vodka show.
Yeah. All right, cool. Let's go ahead and wrap it up there, shall we, guys?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do it. Hey, that's all the CultCast we have for you guys this week. But you know what? The conversation continues on Twitter. Leander's L. Caney, Buster's BST3R. I'm at Aerofon. And, of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple, make sure you're following Cult of Mac. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. And we're going to see you guys
next time.
Next time. That's it. Where are my Apple stickers? I'm putting those bad boys on right now.
I had to cut my workout short.
Oh, yeah?
To get back here, yeah.
You did like 15 push-ups instead of 20?
15, I did three. He gave me a fitness test the other day. Like, I actually went backwards. Fucking hell, I could only do 3 push-ups. And then I started laughing so hard at my own patheticness that I couldn't do any more after that.
But you probably burned another 50 calories just laughing at yourself.
Well, yeah, exactly. But then I put it right back on right afterwards.
I hear that's good exercise.
Bag of chips.
You keep a bag of chips in your gym bag.
Yeah.
Emergency exactly. Chips.
Some cold. Yeah, some candy bars. I've been going for a month. You know, he's had me doing it for a month, 6 days a week.
Wow.
And I haven't lost a pound.
Really?
No. I haven't
lost any weight whatsoever.
Are you eating a ton afterwards or something?
No, I thought I was being pretty good.
Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe you're gaining muscle.
That age.
Well, yeah. He did the BMI test where there was one of those little machines that sends electricity through it. And I know there's no change.
The needle just starts spinning around and around and around. And then it started blinking, error.
I feel better though.
That's good. You got to keep at it for a little while. Wait, how long did you say you've been doing this?
Well, just a month. I mean, like, you know, a month.
Okay, that's not that long.
No, yeah. It's not too bad. Yeah. It's got to the point now where I can go and work out and then not sort of lie, feel like I'm in traction the next day.
Uh-huh.
You know how they have that full body cast? I'm not definitely. That's what it felt like initially.
You're just lying there moaning all day.
Yeah. Couldn't move.
Nothing a few ales can't handle, eh, Governor?
I've been laying up the ales.
You have?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Oh,
how are you going to keep your British citizenship active? Are they going to let that fly?
Don't say anything. Don't tell.
I thought you had to send them like a sample of your blood every month or two so they can make sure that it's maintaining consistent blood alcohol level.
That's right.
Worthy of citizenship. Okay, let's see here. So I was thinking we could talk about Flappy Bird.
Jeez, okay.
Dude.
Did we talk about it last show?
No. We didn't talk about all the drama last show.
Oh, okay.
So, jeez. And I love flapping it, so we'll definitely should talk
about
it.
How many times are you going to get that joke in?
How long is the show going to be today? Like 45 minutes? At least 60 times.
Have you been flapping it, Buster? Hey, Lana, have you been flapping the flap this morning?
I flapped it yesterday, flapped it today, flapped it this morning. I flapped it during breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
Every time I flap it, I get better, too.
Yeah, quicker, huh? Actually, no, it takes longer.
I've been building duration.
Huh? Right.
Yeah.
Prolong it.
I mean, my thumbs are a little sore, but from all the flapping, but, you know. My hand's starting to cramp from too
much. Hey, did you get the details? Anyway, yes, look at that. So did you get any details of the Macworld party yet?
We're still working out the details. But I was talking to them and they were telling me how much they like to flap it.
So pathetic.
And I was like, that's cool that you guys like to flap it, but can you stay on point because we need to figure this out. and then they were silent for a moment and I was like, you're flapping it right now, aren't you? Yeah. At this very moment you're flapping it.